together in the order that God gave it to him. And him going into some of the botany pieces of it, it actually explains a lot to us about trees and life and planting and soil. And so the parable he gave him was the children of the kingdom are like the trees where the seasons change the outward appearance, but the root never changes. In its season, people gaze upon the buds and marvel at the branches. In its season, the colors, like Joseph's robe, burst forth and people stand in awe. And winter comes and the tree sheds its beautiful leaves and their outward appearance comes bleak and barren. There's no longer any interest in the tree, but beneath the surface, where nobody really can see anymore, the root grows deeper and deeper, yet no one sees. And that's where we need to be in the church. As believers, when we're not actually looking beautiful on the outside, we need to start growing deeper and deeper in the Word of God. As we talked about the tree of life, we talked about the last time, we talked about the soil which needs to be prepared to be able to receive the seed. The seed was the Word of God, which when we talk about the parable of the sower, most people think of that as the parable of the sower and the seed, but it was mainly the soil that was receiving the seed, because all the seed was all the Word of God. It just wasn't planted in the right soil. So sometimes we need to prepare the soil. The seed planted was the Word of God, which needs to take root. And then we talked about the root, which is the anchor and the foundation for our tree. And we need to be rooted in the Word of God. Yeshua is the root that sprang out of Jesse. We need to be rooted in Yeshua, Jesus Christ. So we looked at those areas. So today we're going to look at the trunk, that big round thing. Most people like to look at the leaves like we were talking about in the parable, but the trunk is the main support of the tree, and it's very similar to our bodies. We have different parts of our bodies, but it all starts with the trunk there, and what's inside the trunk, what's inside our bodies. There are five layers to a trunk of a tree, which consists of an inner and outer layers. The purpose of each layer is to provide water and nutrients from the roots to the leaves. The outward layer is known as the bark. Now, I'm not talking about a dog barking. I'm talking about that outward piece. It's really hard on the outside. What that is actually used for, it's to actually protect the inner layer of the tree. It's actually comprises of dead cells to form a hard coating. So, and there's an inner layer of the bark called the phloem. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I have no idea, but which carries the food supply of the sap to the rest of the tree. The inner bark and the sapwood is produced by a single layer of living cells. You know, God has no waste in the kingdom of God. Even the dead parts of the dead cells are producing something, and so is the living cells. And we'll look at that a little bit later. But the living cells is called cambium, which causes the tree to grow in diameter, get bigger and bigger and bigger. The inner layer of the sapwood is what takes the water and the nutrients to the rest of the tree. I know to a lot of people this may seem boring, but it's really important because of the complexity of a tree is not near as complex as our body, but there's a lot of similarities to it as we look at this. So the inner layer is the sapwood. The sapwood cells die off and form an innermost part of the trunk called heartwood, the middle of the tree. They die off and they do this heartwood. The heartwood in the center key is the darker and then the sapwood because it stores the sugar and the dyes, D-Y-E-S, not D-I-E-S, in the cells. The tree has a heart. It's the hardest part of the tree. It is the center of the tree. And it is how the sap actually provides nutrients to the rest of the tree for the rest of the tree can grow. You have a heart. And it has fluids going through and in and out of it circulating for the rest of your body can continue to grow and to be able to continue to live. There's a lot of similarities. God, when he made A pattern, he made a pattern in every part, from seed to the soil to life and even to death. And then you see this cycle in life in the tree as well as in us. The tree trunk is similar to our bodies, that the outer bark of skin protects us from the elements, the same as we have what you call an epidermis, which protects us from the sun. It also has a heart which provides nutrients and pumps blood, called sap. We have blood to all the extremities. Just like us, the eternal and the outward parts of the tree must work together for the tree to be healthy. If you got something on the inside not working correctly in your life, guess what? You're going to be hurting somewhere. Something's not working right in your body. If something on the outside is not working and protecting the inside's affected. And so it's really important that they all work together. And we need to also remember, we are the body of Messiah. We are the body of Messiah. And if one suffers, we all suffer. And if one rejoices, the other rejoices. We see this in Scripture. If all the parts of the body are not working together to send the nutrients from the roots, where's the root? Yeshua. To the other parts of the body, then the tree will not be producing healthy fruit. And that's going to be really important. 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 26, Paul tells us, "For indeed the body is not one part, but many. If the foot shall say, 'I am not of the hand,' and I am no longer part of the body, that doesn't make it stop from being part of the body. And if the ear say, 'I am not of the eye, so I am not part of the body,' does that make it not being stop from being part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? If it were all hearing, how could it smell? But as it is, God has arranged each part in the body exactly as he wanted them." Did you hear that? He has put us in the place in the body of Yeshua where he wants us to be. Not necessarily where we want to be. Sometimes we want to be the heart. We want to be the core. Sometimes we want to be the one that sees everything prophetically, one that hears from God. But you know what? It all works together. We all have a part in the body of Christ. And we need to be doing our part instead of worrying about somebody else's part. I'm not of the ear. So because I'm an eye, I want to hear. I don't want to see. Well, we need to work together. Because what the eye sees and the ear hears. Have you ever noticed that sometimes you can hear one thing and you can see something different? Actions on the outside can sometimes, when you're seeing things, may be different from the message that you're hearing, and vice versa. That's why God tells us not to judge by the appearance of things, because you may see somebody sitting there hitting somebody on the ground and you're not understanding it, but you didn't hear or know why he's doing it. Maybe he's doing CPR and trying to save somebody's life. You're saying, "I've seen this guy hit the guy in the chest," and no, he's trying to get the guy to breathe. So you don't know the whole story. So all parts have to know the whole message. And only if you have part of the message, in what we say, going on half cock, guess what? Sometimes you get a bad message, even in the church, where other people are not understanding what's saying, and it comes out to be gossip. And that's why we need every member of the body of Christ. Verify, validate, ensure. Judge not according to the appearance. Get all the facts. Now, if there were just one part, where would the body be? But as it is, there are indeed many parts, but just one body. So the eye cannot say to the hand, "I do not have any need of you," or the head of the feet, "I don't need you." On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be less important turn out to be those that are most necessary. The eye is small, but it's very important, as many people know. And we know people that have eye problems, and some that we're still praying for on our list. And you know what? That really impacts their lives. Does it make the people unimportant to us and to God? No. But they can only go so far and can only see so much when they're impacted. So one part of the body's hurting because of that. "And upon the parts which he considered less dignified, we bestow greater dignity. And the parts that are unattractive are the ones that are most attractive as we can. Why, our attractive parts have no need for such treatment, Indeed, God has put the body together in such a way that he gives greater dignity to the part that lacks it. You know, we look at the preachers, the pastors, the ministers, those that are in charge of the church sometimes, and we look at, oh, wow, you know what? Look what an impact they're doing for God. Look at the fruit they're bringing. But you know what? They're not doing it by themselves. None of us can do any of this by ourselves. We are in the same body. Usually those that are really successful are have some help, mainly in prayer, maybe in finances, maybe in other gifts to the body, evangelism. But it's not how many people that's in the church as how strong they are in this part called the body. The stronger the body, the healthier the whole body of Christ would be. And that's important. So God has put together in such a way that gives greater dignity to the parts that lack it, so that there is no disagreement within the body. That's one thing we would like to see, is no disagreement in the body. But rather, all parts will equally be concerned for all the others. Thus, if one part suffers, and all parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all are happy with it. And that's the one thing we'll talk about is envy. Don't be envious of another person. We talked about the root, and I didn't get to this part. The Bible says, do not let a root of bitterness or envy get into somebody, because that will actually start to go throughout to the body. The root is the important part for growth, because if the root's unhealthy, the body's going to be unhealthy. We got to be anchored. And then the body needs to grow from the nutrients that comes from the root, and then it's distributed through the, from the heart to the rest of the body. From there, we go to the branches, which is the extension of the body. The branches is the extension of the trunks, or it's like our limbs. They're extensions of our body. The branches' job is to defy gravity. It's not natural for a branch to grow up when gravity is trying to tell it to go down. Anybody notice that? But it always seems to go toward the light, not toward the ground. It's built, the whole tree is built from the ground up, but the branches go out and up, and there's a purpose toward the light. It grows up and outwards toward the light and supports the leaves and the fruit that are to that grows on it in its seasons. The branches is the support life of the tree, a place for birds, a place for them to nest, and also to give us shade. It also protects the animals underneath it from the hot sun. The branches have many obstacles, such as sucker branches, which grow abnormally, which divert the nutrients to itself and the starving top parts of the top branch. These tree suckers drains the life of the tree. And have you ever had anybody that would drain your life? They just leech onto you. They suck you. That's what these things do. They suck your life out of you. And that's what it's doing to the tree. It's not part of the natural tree. It's not growing the right way. It's not healthy. And so what it's doing is it's not bringing the nutrients back. Just like our body has a blood cycle, the cycle goes out one way and back in the other way. We have veins, we have arteries, one pushes, one pulls, and it goes back in the heart and circulates. Well, if it's cutting off the circulation, and sometimes you have people in the body of Christ that will hinder the productiveness of the church and of what Christ wants us to do. Those are what we call the suckers of the tree. And the only way to get the tree to back into the life that it needs to be, you got to get rid of the sucker. You got to get rid of that sucker. You have to completely remove it. You cut off that branch that's diverting the nutritions. I know it sounds horrible with what we're talking about. We're not talking about one that's going to reform itself. We're talking about one that's going to continue to be an obstacle to that tree. And sometimes we have to make those decisions even in the church. But that's not the reason for the sucker branches. That's not the way they're intended to grow. They were supposed to be fruitful branches going out and up. Another obstacle is when the branch grows too low, as they will lean toward the ground and not be able to allow the leaves to do their job. So what do we do with these type of branches? We prune them. We cut them off a little closer where they can start going back up a little bit. You know, because sometimes we need the pruning in our lives. We get out, we go out of our area of where we should be going, and we start to sag and lean one way or the other. And so what's happened, you're getting too heavy on this side, and you don't have enough distribution on this side. What needs to be done? You cut a little bit off here, then it starts to grow back up the way it should be. And that's what the pruning process does. And when that happens, you'll be able to have more healthier fruit on a tree. John 15, 1-6 talks about Yeshua being the true vine. And here, we're going to look at this probably a couple times, but he says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth good more fruit. So sometimes we need to be purged. Trees need pruning from time to time to allow the trees to bear good fruit. And when we go into fruit, this is the purpose of the tree. This is done by cutting off the bad limbs, as we said. Yeshua said that we are the branches and he is the vine. We must remain in the vine to bear fruit. But at the same time, we can see that Yeshua was the branch that we should be like. He was the true branch. He showed us how we should grow. We should be growing just like him. Jeremiah 23:5-8 says, Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch and a king that shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is the name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. Who's your righteousness? The Lord is. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that there shall no more say, The Lord liveth which brought you out of Israel, out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth which brought you out and led the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country and from all countries, whither I've driven them, and they shall dwell safely in their land. He is called the righteous branch from the tribe of Judah. We look at this, we need to be grafted into that branch. That's the one, when he talks about Israel, and we can talk about holiness and what God's actually put, set apart. Main pastor talked a little bit about this a little bit today. Holiness is to be set apart for a purpose. Righteousness is how we live in holiness. You have a purpose, you're holy. Once you accepted the Lord, you're holy. You're set apart for him. But to be righteous, you could still be holy, but not living righteously. God sets you apart for a certain purpose, but you're not fulfilling the purpose in that contract, that covenant that we have with God. And so that way, we need to be in the branch, because you cannot the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Now we're going to go to the leaves. Anybody think the leaves are any important? They're very important. These are sort of like the fingers that we have. They have lots of purposes in gathering things. More life begins to appear as in the branch by a little bump on the branch. And then the little stem starts to appear out, which actually becomes a leaf. Also, fruit works a similar way. It breaks forth just sort of like a baby coming out for the first time. It pierces out and comes out all at once and then just continuously grows quickly. Leaves are beautiful ornaments that make people stand in awe of the brilliant colors during the season until they fall to the ground. Then people get really mad at the leaves. I don't want to be these leaves in my yard. I don't want them in my church. Let's rake them up, put them in garbage bags, and throw them away. Well, they actually have a purpose even in their death. But while their outward purposes, appearance is always in different shades depending on the season, the green color is really important because it is part of what we call photosynthesis, in which they gather the sunlight, which helps convert the nutrients into sugar to feed the tree. The tree's healthy, the fruit's healthy, because these leaves are taking the sun light and converting it to food for the tree. And they start, it's starting through the veins of the leaves, and in the process, the leaves absorb carbon dioxide and it expels oxygen. Guess what? The lungs of the tree are the leaves. The body, we have lungs. The tree has lungs, which starts from outside instead of the inside. But the lungs of the tree, as I said, actually breathes. These leaves breathe for the tree a little differently. But for us, it is truly a tree of life, because if the trees do not expel the oxygen, we have no air to breathe in our atmosphere. God created nature perfectly. He organized and designed it in the exact pattern to sustain life. And it continues to do so today. A tree still doing what it's supposed to do. When people start saying carbon dioxide is a pollutant, trees are says, give me more. You want a greener earth? Let carbon dioxide be expanded all throughout. We're going to have more oxygen. You just have to have enough trees to sustain it. So plant a seed. I'm not a conservationist in any part, but you know what? When I was driving from Pennsylvania, New York, all through this country, most places, you know what I see almost everywhere I go? Trees. Trees. Do we have a shortage of trees? Now, you go over to Texas, we used to paint rocks to make them green. So one side has one part, the other side does not. But at the same time, we've got a lot of trees. And if we don't, we can plant plenty more. Finally, we're getting to the fruit. The fruit is what everybody likes to see in the trees, the leaves and the fruit. There's many sermons been done on the fruit of the Spirit, and our fruit. So I'm not going to rehash all that, because you can go back to old sermons that I've done, pastors done, and millions and millions of evangelists have done. But we're going to be talking about some more parts of this, into how fruit is in our lives. All trees that bear fruit flowers do not bear fruit. Did you know that? Some fruit is good and some is bad or poisonous. We found that in the garden, that there was fruit in the knowledge, in the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which caused spiritual death for all mankind. And it all made a curse on this earth. The tree actually began with the seed being planted in the ground. But where does that seed come from? Where does that seed come from? It's from fallen fruit on the ground that decays and rots, and the seed goes into the ground. Now, it's distributed in many ways, animals, birds, the wind, so it's in different areas. But, or you can get it in packets like this in the store, little yellow packets that may say okra or something like that. But most of the time, they have to be picked out of a fruit somehow. And God's desire for each one of us is that we bear lots of fruit. In John 15, 6 through 8, Yeshua says, or Jesus, if a man abides in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men are gathered him and cast them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. If you are a disciple, a learner of Jesus, Yeshua, you will be bearing fruit of some sort. And we're going to look at those fruits in a little bit. So how do we abide in him? A lot of people ask that question. It has to do with his words abiding in us. going to the beginning of the chapter, and we sort of hit on this before, but I'm going to read the rest of this. It tells us in John 15, 1 through 6, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If you abide in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them in the fire, and they are burned. We are partners with the Lord in the tree of life. Did you know that? We are partners. The Father is the husbandman. What does he mean by husbandman? He's a gardener. As I said in the last message, what did God do? He planted a garden east of Eden. It didn't just go garden B and it was there. It said he planted it. And we are the trees of his planting. It is his seed that spoke life into existence. And he wants to, and he partners with us. In the garden, we have a true vine, as we see, is Yeshua, which we either are part of that vine or we're part of another vine. Tree of knowledge of good of evil, tree of life. Which tree are you eating from? Yeshua's word above shows us this life cycle of a believer. And I do say this is not for the unsaved. There is a part in there that says for the unsaved, those that were burnt and not to be seen. But he says in here, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch in me. Are the person saved if they're in Yeshua? Yes. But there's a time in our life, age or physical disabilities, or there is a time in our life that God says, it's time to come home. You're no longer going to be of use for me here. I got plans for you up here. And so he's going to take you away. Because we have a natural life on this earth. And then when you're not bearing fruit anymore, he's going to take you home. So a lot of people say, why am I still here? He's not finished with you. Very simply, you're bearing some type of fruit somehow, or he'd have taken you away before this. You may be in another one of the two processes. You may be bearing fruit, or you may be being pruned to bear more fruit. Bearing fruit, praise God. Being pruned, not pleasant. Being groomed. You ever seen an animal actually taken to a pelt shelter and being groomed, cut toes, nails? What's the animal doing? Get away from me, get away from me, get away from me. Leave me alone, I don't want this. That's the way it sometimes feels when being pruned. But you know what? There's a purpose for that. It's for it to bear fruit. You're cutting off part of the branch for it to grow. It's like you felt like you're losing something. But in the end, you're actually gaining. Because now you're not like this. You're starting to grow back up because you're going up toward the light now. The branches are going toward the light. The leaves are starting to capture the sun the way they should be. And the fruit is taking that nourishment from the leaves and starting to bear fruit to feed others. We need to be more effective in the kingdom of God, and that's why he wants us to be fruit. Now let's look at the fruit itself. Galatians 5, 16 through 26. A lot of people know this. They memorized a lot of this, and it's a lot of times preached about the difference between heaven and hell. And there's nothing wrong with that, but there's more to it than what most people read in the church. This I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest or made known or shown or displayed, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murdering, drunkenness, reviling, and such like. It's a lot to say, huh? Of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do you think people that's living these type of lives are walking in the Spirit? No. That's why those that are walking in the Spirit are not doing these things. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. Now, I'm not going to go into each one of these because, there, like I said, there's a lot of teaching already on the fruit of the Spirit. But look, most of that teaching is wrong. They usually start out the nine fruits of the Spirit. That's not what the Bible says. It says the fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit. It's one fruit. You remember in Corinthians when it talks about the gifts of the Spirit? There were different gifts and different manifestations of the gifts, but it was one Spirit. It wasn't 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 spirits. It says it's the same Spirit that worketh all in all. It's the same thing here, though. The fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Here's the thing. When people look at this, a lot of people say, I don't display all of those. That may be true. But the thing is, you can't do nothing to display them by yourselves. That's why you got to be in the vine. How many ever heard or said or done this, and me too? God, give me patience. How many people have actually says, I'm working on patience? You know, that's not what the Bible says. In James 1:4, it says, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire nothing. It doesn't say work on patience. You need to abide in the vine. We all need to abide in the vine. And it becomes part of that fruit. It's that same fruit. We can't work on patience. Yeah, you can do an outward work on it, but you're not going to change the inward part. Being patient or not patient, that takes the Spirit of God and that fruit being displayed. Let patience have its perfect work, not work on patience. Patience is there trying to work through you in the Spirit of God. Will we allow it? Will we allow it? How about meekness? Do we let meekness come through us, or do we always have to be the one that's in charge? Have to be the boisterous one? Gentleness, do we always have to be rough? Let the Spirit work in you. As it says right here, a little bit after, if we live in the Spirit, let us walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous and vain to learn, provoking each other and envying one another. We're supposed to lift each other up. Before I read this book, the nine fruits of the Spirit, I was there with you. But then when he actually pointed this out, it's like, wow, I never thought of that. It is one fruit because it's one Spirit that God's given each one of us. When Yeshua breathed on the apostles and said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost, he gave us the Spirit. And when you received the Spirit of God, when you became a believer, that fruit should be in each one of you. Every one of these. We should all have love. We should all have joy. We should all have peace and long-suffering. We should all be gentle. We should all have goodness in our life. We should all live in a faith, in faith. You know what? The just live by faith. Period. It's a way of life. And it's the fruit of the Spirit. We should all be meek, and we should all have patience. So I'm going to finish a verse that I started out before. We should all have those qualities, but there's a purpose. John 15, 18 through 17. Herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue in my love. Another fruit of the Spirit. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Did you hear that? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This thing I have spoken unto you, that your joy, another fruit of the Spirit, the same fruit of that same, it's the same part of the same fruit, I should say, might remain in you, that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth, I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard of the Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you will go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask the Father my name, he shall give it to you. These things I command you, that you love one another. God's kingdom is run by love, period. The love that he loved us when he sent his Son, the love that he gave us when he rose again to give us life and made it so easy for us to come to him. But he says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. His commandments are not grievous. They're pretty simple. But that's only, they're simple if you're walking in the Spirit. You want to bear fruit? You walk in the Spirit. You obey the Lord. You hear the Lord, you obey the Lord. You have his words abiding in you, you abide in his words. You do what they say. But the thing is, without the Spirit, this is impossible. You must be able to do this. And this word friend, when he said you are my friends, this is another covenant word. It's actually phalos in Greek, comes from phileo, which means a fondness to. But it also has the word partner. It actually means partner. So he actually is partnering with us. And when you look up at the Old Testament, it comes to the same thing. He is partnering with us to bear fruit. We do not bear fruit of ourselves. It's always by him. Next part, types of trees. How many people like looking at different types of trees? They have different types of fruit sometimes. They have different leaves. Some of them look not as good as the other, but they all have a purpose. So we're basically talking about the tree of life, but we're going to look at some other trees. Matthew 17:20, the Lord says, even so a good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. There are different types of trees in the world. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into fire. Wherefore, by your fruit you shall know them. You ever heard of the business world? I want the low-hanging fruit. I'm sick of that term, to tell you the truth. I've heard it so many times. It's low-hanging fruit. It's low-hanging fruit. Usually when it's really low-hanging fruit, it's overripe and it's not good enough to eat. You want to get it when it's a little bit higher. Yeah, it's easier to pick, but sometimes it gets so full of the juices that if you don't eat it right away, it's going to rot because it is too ripe. And so one of the things we need to do is when we're looking at that is what type of tree are you too? When they start to bend and rise, trees need to be able to exist. They need to be able to stand the outside elements that we don't. We got nice little houses. And so One thing is, a tree doesn't have a house. That's how we build our houses, out of trees. And so they need to be able to withstand the storms in life. And as a believer, you're going to have storms in your life. And I want to say, we're going to have to be like trees, but what type of tree? And that's very important. When storms come, some are actually uprooted, other trees are broken, and some remain. Why? Usually by the type of tree and where they're planted at. Those that are broken are the trees that are not flexible, as they want to stand stern and say, my way, I can withstand any storm. Have you ever done that? I can take it. I could do it by myself. I'll stand that storm. And then they're so hard-hearted, they get broke. One good thing is, their roots are still strong, so they can continue to grow back. Other trees, which are completely uprooted, have no root or no foundation in the ground. And they're completely uprooted. They will never come back. If there's no trace of the root, they're gone. And if you have been sown into good ground, but you did not spring forth root because of the nourishment of the dirt or something that you're doing wrong as a believer, that you will never get grounded into Messiah. You are not grafted into the true vine. Guess what? You'll be uprooted and you will not have life. Your life will be forfeited. The other one, which I think is probably the best tree there is palm tree. Palm trees have big, large roots, but they're flexible. Wind comes, they lean to the left, lean to the right. They go almost all the way down to the ground. Wind stops, they slowly start to come back up. They go back toward the sun. They still go toward the light. What type of tree do you want to be? Do you want to be flexible, doing it God's way? Or do you want to be hard-hearted and do it your way? Or do you just don't want to do it at all and have no root in yourself? That goes back to the parable of the sower. They have no root. And so they sprung up for a while and slowly withered away. In God's kingdom, there's no waste as well. Ain't that great? We talked about this a little bit. The leaves on the ground, limbs that break or fall off because they're bad. Dead wood that actually comes up and actually starts to protect the tree. When they start falling to the ground, they become mulch. These dead pieces of what was once living actually brings nutrients to the soil next to the tree and actually feeds the tree life. And the dirt becomes even more plantable and usable. Have you ever had a bunch of leaves that stayed there for a while and you move it, and you see all this nice, nice dirt underneath it? That's what it does. God does not waste time, even when dying. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Even when they're dying, they're helping to bring forth life. Maybe they are not doing it in themselves anymore, but they're doing it in others. God planted the seed in each and every one of us. We are planting seeds that he planted in us to others. Those seeds will continue to grow even after we are gone. It is very important as we're abiding in the vine that we realize that what we do now will last and remain forever. Yes, our life is like the tree. Here now and sometimes gone, but it sustains new life. And that's what Yeshua did. He gave us life. And we're going to close on the last part. I got to go back to the tree of life because that's where everything began. In the garden, he planted two trees. And the one that we are focusing on here is the tree of life. The Bible starts in Genesis with the tree of life. It ends in Revelation with the tree of life. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. This is for believers. There is going to be another physical tree of life. The Bible says in several places, Revelations 22, 1 through 5, and he showed me a pure river of water of life. Did you hear that? A water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of it, a street. And on either side of the river was there a tree of life, which bears 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month. You notice that? Even in the tree of life, it has a cycle when it is going to bear fruit. You notice that? But, and the leaves, not the fruit, of the tree were for the healings of the nations. That's where we can actually say, and there shall be no more war. It's going to heal the nations. The tree, the leaves are going to do that. Some leaves are poisonous, such as poison ivy. These are not. They're going to bring forth life. It's going to bring forth peace for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no more night thereof, and there need no more candle, neither the light or sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, that they shall reign forever and ever. Even his servants are going to reign. And behold, in verses 12 and 14 of the same chapter, the last chapter of Revelations 22, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his work shall be done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates of the city. How many people are ready to enter into those gates of that city one day? That, you know where that city is going to be? It's going to be here on earth. It's not going to be in heaven. It's going to be here on earth. And when there's a new heaven and a new earth, that city is going to be here. And when I'm talking about a new, it doesn't mean that God's going to completely destroy the old and that the world is completely blown up in a new one. Maybe, but I don't see that in Scripture. But a remade earth. Because he's going to be here on earth. And he's going to be the light. No more light. Don't need the sun anymore. Because he's going to be the light of it. The photosynthesis process, he's the light. He is the light. Going back to the parable that started this, the children of the kingdom are like the trees. Are you like the trees? When the seasons change, the outward appearance, but the root never changes. Let me tell you something. I don't look the same as when I was 17 years old. My outward appearance does not look the same. But I'm still growing deeper and deeper in the things of God. How about you? Are you going to grow deeper? Or are you going to continue to do things your way? Your outward appearance is going to change. You're going through seasons. Our lives are going through seasons, but we are like those trees. In its season, people gaze upon the buds and the marvel at the branches. You may be in that part of your life where people were doing that, but there's going to be a time that that's going to go. It's going to go away. And you're not going to be like the colors, like Joseph's coats, to burst forth and people stand in awe. They're not going to listen to every word you have to say. They're not going to sit there and pay attention to and say, what are you doing today? They may be just like casual acquaintances. I know a lot of people that have as friends, casual acquaintances, some I don't even know anymore because we've gotten out of touch. But you know what? The same thing still goes. Regardless, still going to grow deep. The winter will come. The trees will shed their beautiful leaves. And their outward appearance become bleak and barren. There's no longer any interest in me or you. But beneath the surface, the root grows deeper, yet no one sees. We we'll continue to grow deeper in our relationship with each other and with the Lord. Doesn't matter how we look on the outside. Doesn't matter how big your church is. It doesn't matter how glorious and how gifted you are in the Word of God. We're still going to grow stronger with our relationship with the Lord, because that is our foundation. Father, I just thank you for this message right now. And Lord, I know that I just touched a little bit on this subject right now, Father. I just pray that you touch the hearts and minds of people to seek you, to grow deeper into you, Lord, to have a stronger relationship with you. If there's anyone listening to me that does not know Yeshua, Jesus Christ, as their Lord, all you have to do is ask him. He's already paid the price. All you have to do is say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, and that's my natural way, but I need help. Save me. I accept the death on the cross and your resurrection for life, that I may eat of the tree of life. I pray right now that each person that hears this, that they will seek a stronger relationship with you. In Yeshua's name, amen and amen.